Just a few evenings ago, we decided to take a turn and walk down the Esplanade as the sun was setting, because we remembered that there was music under the hatch shell, and it was a grace, an invitation in remembrance and in vocation. Down we walked as the sun behind us was setting into that Monet, Manet, Chagall painting, lively and vibrant, the ducks on the water and the stars above, and Tchaikovsky and Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty and the Nutcracker, music that even for those of us who are amateurs, that means lovers of music, was accessible and memorable and real, and the ballerinas, and the gathering, many hundreds, to listen in a moment that seemed like a compressed confession of what life is meant to be: healthy, just, connected, beautiful, free, true, convivial, safe, secure, strong, memorable, hopeful, connected, compassionate, and aware. Those, by the way, are 17 words made in a list to collect up the colleges and schools of Boston University together. It was a moment of grace. It was a place where faith became amenable to culture and culture amenable to faith. A place of depth and meaning, like unto this space in this moment. It was a moment of invitation. The strings in the orchestra beckoned us as we proceeded further down and listened in a kind of reverent rapture. There's an invitation today as well: ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and are in love and charity with your neighbor and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, draw near with faith. Take this holy sacrament to your comfort. We're going to invite you to come down the center aisle. It's our own sawdust trail moment. You see, in New England, if you've gotten up on Sunday morning and you've made your way to church, and you've come in and taken a seat in the pew, you've made your own altar call statement. You are swimming a little bit against the stream. This is a personal, public moment, and you've made it so, just so, right now. You've both received and perhaps given across the days an invitation. How rare, how beautiful that word to coworker, friend, neighbor, new student, new faculty. I'll see you at Marsh Chapel on Sunday at 11 a.m. And here is a term book, and here is a photo directory, and here is a bulletin. There is a grace built around invitation, which we receive and which we share. The psalm for today speaks in a glowing way of a new song sung to the Lord. It also carries a remembrance, a hard remembrance of religious conflict, an odium theologicum from the past. We celebrate its invitation in its opening verses, and we remember the New England poet, our poet, yours, of sardonic and dour voice, Robert Frost. I'm going out to clean the pasture spring. I'll only stop to rake the leaves away and wait to watch the water clear, I may. I shan't be gone long. You come, too. Invitation in grace. You know, also on that evening, there were in those tones, those notes of the beautiful music, some recollections of struggle and of difficulty, of defeat as well as of victory. You can play them, many of you, the familiar tunes in the mind and memory in the moment. And we recognize forms of reluctance. You know, There is a holy interaction and exchange occurring on Commonwealth and Bay State Road and in West Campus when parents and young adults part company. And that needs to happen, and we are focused on the mechanics of that change in this hour, including our matriculation service later this early afternoon. And those are important. But what about the marrow and the meaning of that exchange? We'll pause just for a moment here at the Lord's table to give some honor to the reluctance on both sides to quickly see the connection change. Young adults need a new setting in which to form their own real personal second identity. So true. And yet there is that longing that comes with a change of season. Again, your poet caught the moment. When to the heart of man was it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with a grace to reason, and to bow and accept the end of a love or a season? We'll make some space here, call it a gracious space, for a recognition of the reality of reluctance that comes with all change. My mother is 82 years old, and she said to me Sunday night, "I have learned every change requires an adjustment." That's a maternal proverb worth remembering. Every change requires an adjustment. There is embedded here in our gospel lesson from Matthew, speaking of change, that move from spirit to law. Probably it needed to come, but you can hear the clinking, the clanking, the change from freedom to order, and the reluctance to let aside or let go even one voice that might be offering something new and different. Go and listen. Go and speak. Go and talk first. We today, as well as we come to receive the Lord's Supper, this is an open table, open to all of every age and station, background, and denomination. We hear a calling. Now, I am at Boston University with my fishing pole in my hand, happily so. I am hunting every year for women and men who have a sense of calling, who want their life to speak, and within that group, some who may be called to a particular form of ministry, including pastoral ministry, including gospel ministry, and that may be you, and that may be her, and that may be him. And I have my fishing pole out as matriculation unfolds. You know, last year we saw graduate a young man named Matt Gilman. I called to ask his permission to use his name. He came through 4 years of undergraduate study, was an engineer, went to Washington, D.C., continued his work and study, worked with our Inner Strength Gospel Choir as the leader of that choir for 2 years. He was really invested fully in a vocation ministry, and he wrote us, some of us, later this summer to say that the wind had blown and the course had changed, and he was headed for ordination, and could he speak with one of us? You see, I have my fishing pole in my hand. Come Sunday and weekday, week by month, by year, we have a chance to fulfill our own most selves in all and many directions. We have a calling, a vocation that is personally ours. The letter from Romans in the 13th to the Romans in the 13th chapter lifts all of us to the highest of callings, to be among one another as those who love. Salt, light, sheep. Covenant, truth, sacrifice, to be among others as the presence, as Jacques Ellul said, the presence of the kingdom. Receiving such a vocation, your dear sardonic poet put it memorably, this will be our motto this year. Yield who will to their separation. My object in living is to unite my vocation with my avocation, as my two eyes make one in sight. Only where love and need are one and the work is play for mortal stakes is the deed ever really done for heaven and the future's sakes. A grace in invitation and in remembrance and in vocation meets us at this Lord's table to which we are together invited. As we come, we offer our meditative affirmation for the work in which we share across this great university. We give thanks for the study of medicine and dentistry and physical therapy, whose fruit is public health, for the study of law, whose fruit is justice, for the study of management, business, and economics, whose fruit is community, for the study of art, drama, music, dance, all, whose fruit is beauty, for the liberal, general, metropolitan, continuous study of art and science, whose fruit is freedom, for the study of education, whose fruit is memory and hope, for the study of communication, whose fruit is truth, for the study of engineering, whose fruit is expansive safety, for the study of social work, whose fruit is compassion, for the study of military science and physical education, whose fruit is security and strength, and for the study of theology, whose fruit is meaning. May this year see us grow together in all of these attributes, as together we pray before the one who loves us into love and frees us into freedom. Let us pray. Bless, O Lord, we ask, the giving of these elements of bread and cup as we come before you with open hands, open minds, and open hearts to receive your grace this day. Amen.